Computing. All right. So let me pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, as we enter into this time of hearing and preaching your word, Lord. It's a sacred place in a sacred time as we hear the words of our Lord through the weakness of human being. What a miracle. But yet and still, Lord, we approach this time with much reverence and much awe, recognizing that you, by your Holy Spirit, will see to it that we get the message that we need and we'll hear what it is that we need to hear. Lord, I pray that you'll answer questions tonight, that you will ignite us in areas where we need igniting, that you assure us in those places where we are in need of assurance, Lord. Inform us and equip us and strengthen us through the word of God tonight. And we thank you for it in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, now tonight, the intention tonight, as we said from the beginning of the service, is that our focus is on practicing the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God, which is a very familiar term, or I said statement for us, because as I've said before, we've been doing this now for 4 years, and we've been talking about practicing the presence of God for 4 years. And so I asked the Lord, I was like, okay, this is something that's very familiar to us, Lord. Why are we going here tonight? And he said, because it's very familiar to you. But I understood what that meant. Sometimes when things are so familiar to us, again, we can start to just kind of take it for granted. Oh, it's just an everyday thing. Oh, it's humdrum now. It could lose its intensity. And we could even begin to maybe lose some understand, not maybe not understanding, but importance of the purpose of practicing the presence of God. And so we want to talk about it just briefly tonight again to ignite us, to reignite us, to remind us that we will continue to practice the presence of God. How? Day by day. What? Moment by moment, practicing the presence of God. Now, as we have brought out earlier, and many times as we have talked about the word in other times, and we talk, and when we're talking about practicing the presence of God, what we're truly saying is that we are remaining in Christ. We are abiding in Christ. Remember what he told us to do in the book of John, chapter 15, verse 4. That's John 15, 4. I'm going to read it. That's for your notes. John 15, 4. He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear it fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. The abiding in, the remaining in, the practicing the presence of God. Hallelujah. Now, we've been talking of the subject of rest in God for the last couple of weeks or so, in Hebrews chapter 4, the rest of God. And we said on Sunday in that, in the rest in God, the writer of Hebrews, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he speaks of entering into the rest of God. Hebrews chapter 4, you can go there. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, entering into the rest of God. But then in verse 3, he says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. So what we know by that is you and I, the children of God, believers in Jesus Christ, those of us who have been saved, born again, believed on his name, those are all the terms we use for salvation. So entering into the rest of God is another way of saying salvation. So each one of us, when we got saved, we immediately, entirely, completely entered into the rest of God. And so we brought this out as the Holy Spirit continues to talk to us about entering into a rest of God, of which he said we're already in. We said, but what he's really saying is, though, remaining in the rest of God. We talked about how certain circumstances and situations that we can run up on, as the Lord is elevating us to another level or higher level of his glory and his grace and of his favor and of faith, that's a whole new territory now. And when you get there, that rest can get shaky. Your foundation gets a little shaky. It's different up there. And so it's there, right there, where we enter, where we labor to remain in his rest. How did we say that we remain in the rest of God? Verse 10, because we have ceased from our own works. That's how we remain in his rest. We cease from our own works and we depend totally, completely, entirely on the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's called faith in God, right? We talked about that faith in God. It's not necessarily based on our ability to have faith. Faith in God is based on his character. It's his character that we trust, right? With his faithfulness and his wisdom and his power and his power and his plan and his purpose that we trust in him. Therefore, we have faith in God. And so we remain, we abide, we dwell. Don't you like Psalm 91 says, we have found entered into his habitation. All of that being verbiage to tell us that it is a good thing, it is to practice the presence of God. So that's how we say it. We're practicing the presence of God, practicing the presence of God. And so now we can say here, but yeah, but listen, everybody that's saved has the Holy Spirit. Everybody that's saved has entered into the rest. Isn't that right? You just said that. Everybody that's saved, it does. It does. But so here's what we understand. The remaining in, the abiding in, the dwelling in is a choice. It is the choice that we make. It is our choice. Go with me, John. We're going to go to John 15. I want you to see this. John 15, 4. John, the book of John. 15, 4. Let's take a look. Because Jesus said it this way. 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Watch this. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. It's a choice. We can choose to abide. When we got saved, it's a gift. We automatically entered into the rest of God. When we got saved, it's a gift. We received the Holy Spirit. The day we got saved, though, day by day, moment by moment, we make the choice to remain, though, in it. That's our participation, the remaining in it. So now, tonight, as I said before, we want to remind ourselves the practice of the presence of God. So let's talk about it to remind ourselves, how do we do that? How do we practice the presence of God? We choose to practice his presence day by day moment by moment, by purposefully and intentionally, we stop for a minute, say, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm so glad you're with me. You're right here. You know, we moment by moment, it takes work, doesn't it? You know, and so over time, we've done it a lot. And so it can be mundane to us, or you know, I've done that. Maybe I don't need to do it anymore. But I want to encourage you tonight by the word of God that we go back to that same practice of verbally saying, Lord, thank you that you're with me. I'm so glad to be your child. You know, I'm sitting at my desk and I got whatever I'm doing at my desk, and for a moment it'll come up to me and I'll say, my Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit and thank you for it's on purpose. It's intentional. And we do that day by day and moment by moment. Yes. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 also encourages us in this way. It says, therefore, you and I, children of God, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So we understand. I love that term, the way King James says it, we would let them slip. And actually, what let them slip means is, it runs out like a leaking vessel. So we understand in our humanism, and as we said in the beginning of this service, that because we're bumping elbows and we're spending our days with other people, our coworkers, the neighbors, our families, you know, those who may not understand practicing the presence of God or remaining in the rest of God, don't understand those concepts and the way we live as kingdom citizens, you know, and as we are being influenced by the media and what we watch on TV and our entertainments and all of these things, see, it will run out like a leaking vessel. Those things which we have heard can run out like a leaking vessel. And so that is why when we come together, the in gathering, don't you like that? The saints of God, they come together for the sole purpose of to worship the Lord God. The in gathering, if we remind each other to practice the presence of God. The Lord told us in that prophetic word that it has set us apart in some way. It has set us apart that we have obtained a treasure. Because we have practiced the presence of God for years. And so tonight, I just want to encourage you tonight again. Let's make sure that we are still purposefully and intentionally practicing his presence. When we practice the presence of God, we recognize the close proximity that he is. He's in us. You can't get closer than that. Right? And we remember the close proximity that he is. And how many of you know, as we've been saying over the years, when we understand how close he is, it'll cause us to watch what we say. It'll cause us to watch how we live. It will cause us to be mindful of the demonstration that we are of his glory, of his presence with us. It'll help us to stay in his will as we practice his presence. And I want to say, I believe one more thing here, one more thing about practicing the presence of God. Children of God, we've been doing this for 4 years now. We are now sensitive to his presence. We are. Like, we're sensitive. Anybody else, we're so sensitive to his presence at this point. If anybody else, you can walk in a room and sense something if it's off. Or how about, let's make it personal. How about if you are choosing to do something that's out of the will of God, don't you get a sensing on the inside? See, we're sensitive to his presence that's in us. Again, every born again Christian has the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, dwelling in us, everyone, but it is by choice to practice it. By choice. And in the practicing of his presence, we become sensitive that he's here. And in heaven, we groan in this. I think we could call it a compulsion to do his will. Haven't we grown in that place that we want to make sure what we do pleases God? Haven't we grown in that as we have practiced his presence? And we shall continue. And tonight is simply, again, to ignite us again. Let us mindfully and intentionally, purposefully, day by day, and even moment by moment. Listen, it is worth it, isn't it? It is worth it to remember, to take a second and say, Lord, you're right here with me. Lord, you heard what they said. Lord, you have the answer for me now. I'm dealing with this situation right here. Lord, how should I do this? That's practicing his presence. When we're seeking the Lord about should I go over here? Should I stay right here? What is my day going to look like? What should I wear today? That's practicing his presence day by day, moment by moment, not just for big decisions that we need to make, but small ones too. How about what should I eat for breakfast this morning, Lord? Should I take water with me today? And some would say, oh, that's over the top. All right, come on now. I don't take all that. Some would say such. But when we say that we are dependent completely on God, entirely on Him, it means then that we are acknowledging Him in all of our ways. I say all of our ways. And as we practice his presence, this one I think is really the last one, then we begin to hear him clearer, don't we? There are times and that we may not even initiate the communication, but then he'll speak to us in our ear, the ear of our hearts, down deep down on the inside of us. It's how he leads us and guides us. So in practicing the presence, we become keen to what he's saying and keen to the way he's leading. We become keen to his direction, keen to his instruction, keen to his warnings even. And watch this, we also become very keen to his affirmations towards us. Don't we need that? I do. Don't we need to hear the Lord say to us, you are my beloved in whom I am well pleased. Don't we need to hear that? We do. We certainly do. And we become keen to that, very sensitive to what the Lord is saying and doing as we are flowing with him by the Spirit of the living God. And so we practice his presence. Now, I don't want you to get overwhelmed and or confused. I don't want you to see this as a separate subject. So let me be clear. Salvation is the rest that we entered into, that the Holy Spirit tells us about in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. The rest of God is the salvation of God. It's the same. It's the same. It's the same. It is God's Sabbath rest where we cease from our own works and where we receive from him the provision of God, the protection of God, the purpose of God. And wait, I left this one out on Sunday, but I'm bringing it back in, and the presence of God. We are sealed. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Sealed, see. Hallelujah. All right. Now here it is. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We're sealed. And so there are different terms. Practice the presence of God is the same as abiding. It's the same as remaining. It is the same. But tonight, let us ignite the action of, reignite, I should say, the action of practicing his presence. Remaining in the rest of God is the action of, or one of the actions of salvation, because we cease from our own works. And all of the practice of the presence and all of entering into the rest of God, all of that is fueled, it is charged by faith. Faith in God. Faith in God. Faith in his character. Faith in him. We can do it because of his character, because of who he is, and because we're sure of our identity. We can do this. Yes, I can do this. I can get through this. I can make it to this. Now, listen, I want to say this, and let me say this to us tonight. I said it earlier, and I'm going to say it again. As everything around us is shaking and reeling and shattering, as the cost of living is going up, and as some of the salaries are going down or remaining the same, as you know, war over here and over there, and the threat of war and all of that that's going on in the political world, as all of this is happening, as things have become uncertain, as it is that now, if you step to someone and address to them something that may have been offensive to you, we recognize the possibility that you may just die. Folks just killing people. Listen, I'm just, you know, just shooting people for whatever, you know. And all of that is real, all around us, all around us. That is real. But again, I want to say this again at the end, just in case you weren't here at the beginning. Children of God, people of God, those of us that practice his presence, that remain in his rest, that are his children, the citizens of heaven. See, this time for us is not to just hunker down and survive. It's time for us to thrive. Yes. It's time for us to do well. Because it's go time. Because it's go time. In every arena in our life, it is time for us to do well. So don't get fooled by what you hear. Don't be fooled by that. Yes, inflation is a real thing, but we must ask ourselves, what does that have to do with me? You know, that's our let be our mindset. What does that have to do with me? And so in these days, we are the people of God that he has prepared to bring his glory to the forefront. And so that is our expectation. Our expectation is that we do well, is that we thrive. Abundance, that is our expectation. Glory to God. All right. That's the word of the Lord for us tonight.